time for this to be at home. Slipped in front and Crawford another block. Five to go. For the third time in 6 years, the Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this morning at TSN1290.ca, good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It is our season preview spectacular. So what better way to begin the program than that clip of the Chicago Blackhawks at the conclusion of last year's Stanley Cup Finals. Of course, victorious over the Tampa Bay Lightning, taking home yet another Stanley Cup for the Blackhawks. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. We have 3 hours of hockey talk for you on this Saturday morning as we will go division by division, team by team, breaking down everything that you will need to know about the 2015-16 NHL season, which gets underway next week. It's amazing. Finally, we're done with, well, one exhibition game to go tonight, but we're more or less done with training camp, done with the exhibition season, and finally we can get these games going for real.
Yeah, good morning, Drew, and it's great that the exhibition season is almost over because it's too long, as we know. We want the puck to drop for real and get the real season going. So, you know, it's really the most exciting time of the year around here.
Without further ado, let's head to the Hockey Show Hotline.
Now, let's go live.
We are pleased to welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's USA Today's senior hockey writer, Kevin Allen. Kevin, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Oh. All right.
Kevin, are you there?
I'm here.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
That's good. Thanks for joining us, of course, as you always do each and every year on our season preview show. We're going to talk to you about the Eastern Conference teams as we enter the 2015-2016 season. And, of course, because it's the season preview show, I want to start with the Tampa Bay Lightning, the team that fell at the hands of the Chicago Blackhawks in last year's Stanley Cup Finals. Do you think the Lightning have what it takes to get back to the Stanley Cup Final out of the East and maybe improve upon their fate and actually win the Stanley Cup? And the caveat I want to put on that is, how do you think the Steven Stamkos, well, not yet negotiations, I guess, but the fact that he's an unrestricted free agent at season's end is going to play into their season overall?
Well, that's a great question, and, you know, I remain bullish on the Tampa Bay Lightning. I really feel that, you know, they probably learned plenty in losing to the Chicago Blackhawks last season in the Stanley Cup Final, and I've always believed that you need to learn how to lose in the playoffs before you can learn how to win, and I think they've kind of gone through that. But as you mentioned, you know, there's a bit of a distraction as people wonder about what's going to happen to Steven Stamkos, but, you know, I still believe that will get worked out, and if it doesn't get worked out right away, I think Stamkos is the type of player that he won't let it bother him. And I think the players, although many of them are young, I think they all sort of understand it. And I think they're going to be focused on trying to win the Stanley Cup. So I think this team is going to be very similar last season. They're going to be probably in the, you know, I don't know whether they'll be the highest scoring team in the league anymore because I think Dallas is pretty good and I think Columbus will score a lot of goals, but, you know, they're going to be right there and I think their defense is going to be much improved.
Kevin, Richie and I have argued this throughout the summer about the New York Rangers and whether they're going to take that step back. Obviously, they won the President's Trophy last year and lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Eastern Conference Finals. There's been some change this year. They bring in a new backup goaltender. They've traded Carl Hagelin to the Anaheim Ducks for Emerson Edom. Marty St. Louis retires. Do you see the New York Rangers taking a step back, or do you still think that they're going to be at near the top of the Eastern Conference this year?
Well, you know, I think they're in danger of taking a step back, but, you know, not because of anything they did. I just think that division is so tough, and I almost feel like it's a pick'em division. You know, there's five teams there that I believe are all capable of winning the division, and all very good teams. And, you know, it's possible one of them is not going to make the playoffs. And, you know, I think the Rangers are just as vulnerable as every other team. But, you know, the ace in the hole is they have the best defensive core in the Eastern Conference, and, of course, they got the best goalie in Lundqvist. And I think the Hagelin loss is more significant than some people realize. I think his speed really sort of added added a dynamic to that team that will be missing a little bit now. Like he, you know, it wasn't like he was a 30-goal scorer, but you know, he was a danger every time he was on the ice because of that great speed, and he was a penalty killer, and you know, he just brought a lot to that team. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But I didn't think that what they did or didn't do in the off season made them any less likely to win. I just think you know, the Columbus Blue Jackets will be better, the Islanders will be better, the, you know, the Capitals are going to be better, I think. So it's going to be a tough division.
Yeah, Kevin, close to you is the Detroit Red Wings, and last year, you know, really in that matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning, maybe after game two, I thought they outplayed the Lightning, and you know, some would say should have won the series and certainly had the opportunity to do so. They go into the offseason. Obviously, Mike Babcock is the big change, and there's a ton of press about that. But you look at the roster, it's very talented. There's a lot of youth, and they've added Mike Green. What do you expect for the Red Wings this season?
Well, I think they're a better team than some people realize. You know, in my mind, they're a contending team, and, you know, I think you hit the nail precisely on the head. And, you know, just looking back, they pushed that a very good Lightning team to a Game 7 and could have won it. You know, it wasn't a high-scoring affair. They weren't dominated. They were certainly in a position to win, and I think they're better this season, just because the fact that they, you know, they've got some younger players who, you know, may be coming of age. You know, Tatar and Nyquist were established last season, but you know, we don't know what Polkinen will do. Dylan Larkin probably will not start the season with the team because they have, you know, option waiver issues on too many young players. But ultimately, he's going to be on that team, and he's a great skater, and he adds a dynamic element to the offense. And I think when he gets up later in the season, I think it'll be a different team as well. And I think Brad Richards fits pretty well there as a number two center, as a veteran guy, as a guy that can sort of almost run a hockey offense like a basketball offense. He can kind of set up and run a half-court game. And I think that fits well with what the Red Wings have there up front. And you know, I mentioned Tatar and Nyquist have already come of age, and I think they're only going to get better. And I think Zetterberg has, in his mind, something he wants to prove, and that is that, you know, he's still a dominant offensive player. You know, he took some criticism late in the season. He only scored a couple of goals in the last 29 games, and there's really sort of a sense that the back injuries were finally catching up with him, and he wasn't the same player he was before. You know, when I looked at his stats in the off season, I noted that, you know, he still had 31 or thereabouts in terms of first assists. He was among the league leaders, and he's still, in my mind, a real good offensive player. But I think he wants to have even better numbers this season, and I think there's also a sense from the veterans that they want to sort of show the hockey world that it wasn't all Mike Babcock. That you know, Mike Babcock had a real good team there, and that's one of the reasons why he was successful.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Our guest is USA Today senior hockey writer Kevin Allen, discussing the Eastern Conference as part of our 2015-16 season preview show. Kevin, you look at the offseason, and one of the teams that made the biggest splash, arguably it could be the big, you know, the biggest of them all, was the Pittsburgh Penguins when they acquired Phil Kessel from the Toronto Maple Leafs. You look at the Penguins roster, and it's stacked offensively. You know, it was pretty good before with some guys named Crosby and Malkin. Why is this year the season that the Penguins get a better result with being such an offensively loaded team but such question marks on the back end?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair question. It really is. And but what I would say is this. For the first time, you know, even since Crosby got there, I feel that there are finally enough wingers for both Crosby and, you know, Malkin. And I think that's a big difference. Like, even when they won the Cup in 2009, I really felt they were, you know, one winger short. And now they're not. I mean, in addition to Kessel, you know, Dupuis is back and going to be able to play, and Plotnikov has come over from the KHL, and he's fit well with Malkin. And really, you know, he's a sort of a big winger who can play a little bit of a physical game. So I think when you add in those, it'll just make the offense much more difficult to deal with. It'll be hard to shut them down. And when they want a little extra spice, they can still play Crosby and Malkin together. Now, the other element is I think Marc-Andre Fleury has sort of gotten rid of the yips that he had during the playoffs. for about a four-year period. I don't think anybody worries about how he'll perform now in the postseason, which I think is also, you know, very important. And then finding the defense. And, you know, the defense, as you suggested, is, you know, not a strength of the team. Chris Letang is a, you know, top-level defenseman, and I think they're expecting a lot from Mata. And some people are concerned about their, you know, that perhaps they're going to expect him to play 23, 24 minutes, but I think he can handle that. You know, prior to his injury and illness last season, he was playing 22 minutes and seemed to handle it well. I think he's a first-rate young defenseman. But after that, it's a bit of a mystery. But the one thing I do like about this Penguin team with regard to the defense is they have a general manager, Jim Rutherford, with a long history of being aggressive in the trade market, and he's on record as saying that he'll be watching early to see how that defense is. He thinks it's okay, but if it's not, he has already said that he's going to be very aggressive. So the defense you see now may not be the defense that you see later in the season. And one more thing I wanted to add, too, is I think Ian Cole is a little underrated. Like, when he came over last season from St. Louis, I thought he was pretty effective. He seemed to find a home there, and he seemed to be real comfortable. So I think he's probably a key to that defense.
Kevin, you mentioned the Columbus Blue Jackets earlier, and I saw a piece that you had on USA Today yesterday, which was about five teams that were flying under the radar, and the Columbus Blue Jackets were the first team that you had on there. Do you see any way the Columbus Blue Jackets don't make the playoffs this year if they're healthy? Because, as you mentioned in the article, they finished the season winning 12 of their last 13 and quietly put together an 89-point season last year.
Yeah, and, you know, they've got so much of their payroll dedicated to offense, and you know, that window won't be open very long. I thought it was interesting that Kekalainen, their general manager, when he acquired Brandon Saad, said, you know, it won't be long until we'll be in the same position as the Blackhawks, where we're going to end up having to shed people that we don't want to shed because, you know, we've got salary cap issues. Well, you know, with $45 million committed to forwards, it'll probably be quicker than people realize. So I think they have, you know, they want to go for it, and they want to get in that playoffs and sort of reaffirm to fans that they're single-minded in their pursuit of a championship, and they've got a lot of firepower. And that Saad, Foligno, Johansson line could be among the top lines in the league. They've got a great goalie in Bobrovsky. In my mind, he's a top five or six goalie in the league. Like, I think he's a terrific goalie. And I think he's a, you know, a workout conditioning zealot, and I think he's going to be even more durable than he's been in the past because I think he's realized that he's got to do everything he can to stay healthy because he's so important. Now, the only question, and it's very similar to the Penguins, is their defense going to be good enough? I think their defense is average at best. So at some point they may have to address that. I think they're a team that's that's a candidate to make a trade for a, you know, a veteran defenseman because they've got all the elements to be a contender.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Our guest is USA Today senior hockey writer Kevin Allen as we discuss the NHL's Eastern Conference as part of our 2015-16 NHL season preview show.
Because we have so many teams to address, Kevin, we don't want to keep you all morning. Last year, I thought one of the best series of the playoffs was the Washington Capitals against the New York Islanders. You know, a back-and-forth series that Washington really did play far better than the Islanders did, who were, you know, the Islanders were injured in that Game 7. Of those two teams, which one do you think will have a better season?
Well, I think it's going to be the Capitals. You know, I think I really like this Capital team. I think Barry Trotz is really changed the culture, and that's, you know, maybe become an over-utilized phrase. But I think in the case of the Capitals, it's really an accurate phrase. You know, this was a team that was never comfortable in close games, didn't have a lot of confidence in the postseason, didn't have a lot of confidence, period, in my opinion, and was always, you know, looking for Alex Ovechkin to do more than I think anyone is capable of doing. And I think all that has changed now. I think they're very comfortable in low-scoring games. They're comfortable in close games. I think they have confidence in the postseason. And Trotz has come in and just instilled that in them. And I think there's another reason as well. I think Holtby has, you know, given this team a lot of confidence. I think they believe in him, you know, not dissimilar to the way the Kings believe that if they can get to the postseason quick and can lead them in goal. I think the Capitals have that level of confidence in Holtby as well. And I think, you know, Ovechkin has made his peace with the type of player that he is. I think he's, you know, paid a little more attention to defense without really changing his offensive game, and I think that's exactly what Barry Trotz wanted. He didn't want him to be a Selke Trophy winner. He just wanted him to be more mindful of the other aspects of the game. But you don't want to change Ovechkin's spots because, you know, in an era when goals are hard to come by, he has scored 50 or more six times in 10 seasons, and I'm guessing it'll be 7 and 11 after this. So I think Trotz was smart enough to realize he didn't want to make a Steve Yzerman transformation with Ovechkin. He just wanted him to be a little more mindful. So, and I like the offseason changes. Williams obviously has a good playoff history, which again adds, you know, a little more confidence. And Oshie, of course, it can be a little bit of a dynamic presence and gives them a little boost. They were a little short on the wing. The only question I have about the Capitals is, you know, are they a little thin at center? And I say that only not that I don't like their talent, but Backstrom, of course, is trying to come off a surgery, and, you know, Kuznetsov is only 1 year into playing center, so he'll have to kind of move up. So they may be a little thin there in the middle, but this is a pretty talented team, and, you know, Trotz, I think, is the MVP of that team.
Kevin, one of the quietest teams this offseason was the Montreal Canadiens, with the exception of sort of taking a flyer on Alex Semin and trading for Zach Cassian. They really didn't do much at all during you know, the July, August, September months. If Carey Price takes a small step back, and it's reasonable to expect that he might given how unbelievable he was last season, have the Canadiens done enough to offset a little dip in play and a little dip in performance by Carey Price to remain at one of the East upper echelon teams?
Well, I'm obviously voting no because I've picked the Red Wings to move ahead of them, and because I just think it'll be really difficult. Like, I think Carey Price is a premier goalie, but to duplicate the effort he had last season, it's just probably asking a little too much. But you know, he'll be very good. There's no question about it. I did love the Semin move. I thought this was of a lot of rolls of the dice that GMs take. I thought this was a real good one. You know, get for $1 million for a guy that, you know, occasionally has just been an incredible player. You know, by a one-year contract, you know, he needs to play well in order to get another contract, so there's a lot of incentive for him. This guy's been the 40-goal scorer, and he's been, there have been times when he's looked like one of the better offensive players in the league. So the Semin acquisition I like. I think, you know, they've got some Galchenyuk, a young player that they hope is going to get a little better as well, and they've got some consistency. To me, the Canadiens still the question I have for them is will they score enough goals? If Galchenyuk continues to improve, if Semin can score 25 goals, if Cassian can get 15 to 20, then they should be okay. But otherwise, I think it's going to be like last season's playoffs, where you know you got to count on Carey Price and maybe Subban as the two difference makers on the team.
Kevin, the Boston Bruins were clearly one of the busiest teams in the offseason. We know all about the trades. Milan Lucic, Dougie Hamilton, Riley Smith, Carl Soderberg, all these guys are gone. They only finished out of the playoffs by 2 points, but how concerned are you by that defense, and especially Dennis Seidenberg's going to miss some time to start the season?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was just devastating, the Seidenberg injury, and then Chara's not starting out healthy either. And, you know, that will not help. I mean, the defense has really been, when you go back to even losing Boychuk at the start of last season, that the once proud Boston defense just is not the same anymore. So, but, you know, if Chara's health can be restored, you know, and all of a sudden you got to remind yourself, look, they've got Krejci and Bergeron at center ice. That's those are two still pretty good players. And Chara is the foundation of the defense, and Tuukka Rask, who's a premium goalie, that's still the makings of a good team. So I think they're right on the cusp. They're not so much different than they were last season. I didn't like the moves they made. I didn't think they got enough in return. And it's, you know, it obviously didn't strengthen their team this season other than it gave them some flexibility terms of the salary cap that'll allow them to make other moves. But for this season, I think it's even going to be harder to make the playoffs.
You know, Kevin, up in Canada, the Leafs haven't been overanalyzed at all this offseason. I turned on the TV after the third preseason game, and the question that the panel was arguing was, did Mike Babcock make a mistake picking Toronto over Buffalo?
Well,
I don't want to ask you necessarily that question, but I do want to get into those two teams and maybe give us your take on what you expect from those teams, obviously Bylsma having taken the job in Buffalo.
Well, I like the Buffalo team better than Toronto right now just because, you know, they have Jack Eichel and they have, Evander Kane, who's still, you know, a young man. And, you know, they've got some pieces there that, you know, I really, really like. And plus, they've got some now going on. Like the Evander Kane, O'Reilly, Tyler Ennis line, I was in Buffalo just recently and I watched them play. Now, I don't know whether Bylsma will keep that line together, but if he does, you know, that's going to be a top 10 line in the NHL, I think. It's a really effective line. It has all the elements to it. It's got the shooter. It's got the, you know, the passer. It's got the hard work and gritty center. I think there's a lot to like about Buffalo. And, you know, we haven't got to Jack Eichel yet, who, you know, I think is Connor McDavid's equal. And I think they're going to have a lot of fun through the years to, as fans, you know, try to determine who's the best all-around player. So I like Buffalo. They're going to be a lot better this season. It'll come down to goaltending for Buffalo. But, you know, Toronto I'm really intrigued by because I'm not buying what Lamoriello and Babcock are selling, which is this is, you know, going to be painful and a long, drawn-out process. I know those guys too well, and neither of them, you know, like or will put up with losing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Babcock will make even the worst team, you know, 10 or 12 or 14 points better. And Lamoriello, you know, has always been aggressive as a trader. I just think, you know, they're going to make this team that they'll be paying this year because they won't be very good. But I think the Maple Leafs by next season will be, you know, competing, you know, back to get in the playoffs because I like their younger players. And now they've assembled, you know, a decent group that, you know, may not be completely ready next season. But, I think this turnaround is not going to take as long as people think it is.
Kevin, we'll let you go on this last question. It's always the cliche prediction question, but if you can share for our audience what you think the Stanley Cup final is going to look like and who you think is going to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup in June, end of June 2016.
Well, I've taken the trendy pick to win it all, and that's the Anaheim Ducks. I just think they have too much of everything, including, you know, now several options in goal, which I think, you know, could serve them well given the injuries they went through last season. So I'm taking the Ducks, but the surprise I have in the East is, even though I'm not even taking them to win the division, I'm saying the Red Wings are going to reach the Stanley Cup final. That'll be the Red Wings and Ducks in the final with the Ducks winning it all.
Well, you heard it here first. Kevin Allen, USA Today senior hockey writer, Hockey Hall of Fame journalist, of course, as well. Kevin, appreciate your time this morning, and thanks very much for joining us on our season preview show.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Take care, Kevin. Let's head to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. When we come back, much more on the NHL's Eastern Conference. Big thank you to Kevin Allen from USA Today for joining us in that previous segment to preview the Eastern Conference. That segment was brought to you by the Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior, a proper fitting, custom-made mouth guard is a must-have piece of protective equipment. Don't be an Ezzy. Give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial teeth and mouth protection. Contact the Linden Market Dental Center at 204-487-2226 or online at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Still to come on the program this morning, we're going to be joined by Eric DeHatchick of the Globe and Mail, another Hockey Hall of Fame writer. He's going to join us in about an hour's time to preview the Western Conference. And when we come back after this break, we're going to start our preview of the Eastern Conference with the Atlantic Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday on TSN 1290. 9:30 in the morning, you're listening to TSN 1290, a beautiful Saturday morning, the 3rd of October. Welcome back to the program. This segment of the show brought to you by Frank Zappia and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtor of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com or at 204-772-2100. Gentlemen, we start our version or our segments of the preview show with the Atlantic Division. We'll start, and this is, I've arranged it based on last year's standings. We start with the Montreal Canadiens. They finished atop of the Atlantic Division with a record of 50-22-10 as they enter into 2015-16. Are the Canadiens in position to equal that mark? It's hard to believe they're going to better it because that's 110 points. Are they in position to equal that mark, or do you foresee the Canadiens taking a step back given that maybe a lot of the other teams around them have improved more than the Canadiens have?
Drew, I think the obvious answer is that the Montreal Canadiens take a step back. I am in the camp that believes the Montreal Canadiens won't take that far of a step back, but last year the point total was just too high for the quality of the team, and it was really indicative of how well Carey Price played, winning the Vezina, winning the Hart, winning the Jennings, basically winning every single trophy that they could possibly give him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Allen touched on this during the interview. This team needs to score more goals, and the big question, which everybody has, is will they score enough goals? Have they done enough? And Alex Galchenyuk moving to center, it doesn't just affect Alex Galchenyuk. Lars Eller is going to move to wing. He's usually been their third-line center, and he struggled last year. But really, guys, if you go up and down the lineup, they've had a lot of players that have underwhelmed, and really the only players that continue to be consistent are Max Pacioretty, Thomas Plekanec, Brendan Gallagher, these players. Love Brendan Gallagher. This defense, I think, is still really good. I wouldn't say it's a top-five defense or even a top-ten defense, but I think you're going to see P.K. Subban probably pair up with Jeff Petrie, and then they're probably going to put Nathan Beaulieu with Andre Markov. I think this year Andre Markov is going to play less, Drew. I think he's getting a little bit older, and I think he can't necessarily handle those minutes that he's has in the past. Still an excellent defenseman, Richie. But I actually like this team, and I think they're a playoff team. I don't think this is a team that is going to go maybe even past the first round or second round. I worry about when they get into a series against some of the more skilled teams, that especially the Tampa Bay Lightning last year. I don't know if getting Alex Semin and Zach Cassian does enough to address that, but they will score more goals, and to me they're still a playoff team, Rich, but they're not a top team in the East. To me they're going to finish somewhere between 5th and 8th in the East.
Yeah, you know, I don't think they have the replicate the season of last year, as I just when you look at the squad, I mean, There are areas for them to improve. Like their power play, 16.5%, I think, can be better just with the weapons they have, like a P.K. Subban, and they have some good passing players, and you're adding in a shot like Alex Semin should be able to spread it out a bit, because Alex Semin has a terrific shot. I mean, if you're looking big picture in terms of the Habs, Alex Semin may have a better season, but when it comes to the playoffs, he'll probably be useless. So, I mean, what's your end goal? Is your end goal to, you know, have regular season success, or are you looking for playoff success? In Montreal, you're looking for playoff success. And you always have a chance to win with Carey Price. But I look at their goal output last year, right? This team put up 221 goals. That's 18th overall in the league. What I would, and now we'll talk about their goals against in a second, but what I worry about there is you look at the changes that they've made. And they add in Alex Semin, and they add in Zach Cassian. That's great. But, you know, Brandon Prest, Zach Cassian, different players. So Semin is a wild card. He has upside, for sure, because he's skilled. I mean, his work ethic is terrible. He's big, and he's got a great shot. If he wants to be a player, he could always be a player. But the question is, will he have the motivation? But when you're basing your possible goal output on Alex Semin, that worries me. And when you look at the rest of the lines up there, I mean, you've seen these guys play for many, many years. Now, you know, Alex Galchenyuk, as you mentioned, that is an important one. Playing in the middle, he has to be productive. But how many guys on the squad, like Kevin Allen talked about, we need this from Zach Cassian, you need that. There's a lot of ifs. You know, Cassian makes them bigger. Semin certainly doesn't make him and makes them bigger. I don't know about tougher, because Press was tougher. But Semin isn't that tough. I don't love Petrie. I mean, he's better than not having him there and the different guys they would have in Gilbert in a higher role. But overall, I see this team having enough chemistry and being good enough and having a great goalie to be a playoff team. But I don't see them being an outstanding team, and I don't see them winning the division.
The Tampa Bay Lightning finished second in the Atlantic Division last year with a record of 50-24-8. We know they made it all the way, of course, to the Stanley Cup Finals before they fell to the Chicago Blackhawks. Pretty much returning the same team as last year. The only really, you know, key loss, and it's not really a key loss, is they lost Mark Barberio, who was a depth player on that team. They added Eric Condra, ex of the Ottawa Senators. Yet, for some reason, and you guys can maybe I'm alone on this, for some reason, something leaves me a little apprehensive about the Tampa Bay Lightning entering the 2015-16 season.
I think they win the President's Trophy this year.
So I am alone on that.
Completely disagree. I think that you're looking at arguably the most skilled team in the NHL. And there's the obvious issue, Drew, with Steven Stamkos and the fact that he enters the season without a contract extension. To me, that's the kind of main issue that I have with this team right now, and I'm sure Steve Yzerman has an issue with it. But when you look at this team and what they did in the playoffs, they were two games away from winning the Stanley Cup. This team, top to bottom, Richie, is deep. Ben Bishop might not be the best goaltender in the NHL, but he's a bona fide number one goalie. Vasilevskiy and Gudlevskis, whoever wins the backup spot there, is a capable goalie. And I think this defense is extremely underrated. John Cooper knows what he's doing with this team. I think he's an excellent coach. And Anton Strahlman coming in last year really solidified that top pair with Victor Hedman. Victor Hedman, to me, is a future Norris Trophy finalist.
Maybe this year.
I like Braden Coburn a lot coming over from Philly. I thought he was a great addition. I know once you get down kind of the depth defenseman, you know, a guy like Matt Carl, people have issues with, coughs up the puck once in a while. But, I mean, that triplet line is one of the most dynamic lines in all of hockey, if not the most dynamic line. A guy like Alex Killorn really found chemistry with Steven Stamkos there. And really, that's the second line there with Valtteri Filppula. But, you know, you got players like Cedric Paquette, who really came into his own. And Jonathan Drouin, I think, will play more games this year. Whether he plays on one of the top two lines or on the third line, he'll play more. Just really like the balance and depth on this team, Drew. So for me, not picking them to win the Stanley Cup, but I wouldn't be surprised if they win the President's Trophy this year.
Yeah, I you broke it down really well there, Ezzy. I mean, you look at the up the middle, Johnson. I know some of these guys, they'll put Stamkos on the wing, but Johnson, Stamkos, Filppula. I mean, who else is competing with those centers? In reality, I mean, you have the skill, you have the speed, you have the shot, you have great balance. You look at their back end. You know, Strahlman's a guy I doubted before, but he's certainly proven himself. Hedman's a terrific player. He's come into his own. Like, do I love Coburn? I mean, I like Braden Coburn. Do I love Garrison Coburn, Carl and Suster maybe defensively at times? I don't love it, but we're nitpicking there. They have dominant offensive talent. They have a very smart coach. They have good goaltending in Ben Bishop. And they're a pretty well-oiled machine. So I think they cruise through the regular season and win the division. I think in the playoffs, their issue is, and they had a good draw last year. Let that be clear. In my opinion, they had a good draw. They played teams Detroit, Montreal. They played teams, even Chicago, and they were tired at that point, and the Rangers. They played teams that weren't overly physical, that weren't big, that weren't the toughest teams. And I do think that would be a problem for them in a matchup, depending on how the game is called by the refs. But regular season-wise, I think this team is going to win the division.
Quickly, January 1st, 2016 hits, and Steven Stamkos still doesn't have a contract.
This is a tough. This is only one that's a tough decision because this team is a Stanley Cup contender, could win the Cup with him if they trade him, and they don't get parts that can contribute now. It significantly hinders their ability to do so. However, long-term, and this team has a lot of young talent, you still have to trade him, in my opinion.
If it doesn't appear he's going to sign, you have to trade him by the trade deadline?
That's what they did with St. Louis, right?
Yeah, but they're different trade, players, though. He wanted to trade as well. Yeah. They're different players also. Steven Stamkos
The point is Yzerman didn't waste an asset.
That's true. Detroit Red Wings, they finished third in the Atlantic Division last year with a record of 43-25-14. They lost in a very close first-round series to the aforementioned Tampa Bay Lightning. A couple of additions to their roster this year, a couple of veterans, Brad Richards, ex of the Blackhawks last season, and Mike Green, ex of the Capitals. Seems like the future, I mean, the future's always bright in Detroit because they're such a good organization. Yep. It really does seem like their young players with these couple of key additions might be ready to take that next step forward and be a later playoff team rather than a first-round playoff team.
Well, you have to be a fool to not pick the Detroit Red Wings to make the playoffs because they make the playoffs every single year. Yep. And you just heard Kevin Allen predict that he thinks that they're going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Not necessarily win the division, but go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Jeff Blashill coming in is a huge change. Obviously, Richie, you mentioned that coming in for Mike Babcock, who's been there for a long time. He's worked with so many of these players in Grand Rapids, and he was a former assistant with the Detroit Red Wings. So I have no issue or a concern, I should say, not issue with him coming in. And if there's going to be a transition period, sure, you know, things will change a little bit and there's a different personality in the room, but it's not like they're going to completely change their style of play. I mean, this is a skilled team. You know, Detroit, the comment every year is that they don't carry an enforcer, but the reason is because that's not the type of game they play. But, you know, Brad Richards, you mentioned, Drew comes in. He'll probably slot in as the second-line center. This defense, I think, gets a lot more offensive with Mike Green. I don't think it's the best defensively. You know, and Danny DeKeyser is going to be injured to start the season.
Yeah, he's out a month.
You know, it's only a month, so he'll miss, you know, 10 games or whatever it is, not even. But a guy like Brendan Smith, I think he'll benefit under Jeff Blashill. I think a guy like him, to me, he'll have a better offensive season. I like the defense. And to me, the kind of most interesting aspect of the Detroit Red Wings, I have no concern about the forwards. I mean, they've got a deep group of forwards. They can score, you know, Zetterberg, Datsyuk, Riley Sheahan, Tatar. Abdelkader had his best year last year. But to me, the most interesting storyline going into the season is the goaltending. Peter Mrazek might be their number one goaltender going into the season. Last year, he outplayed Jimmy Howard, who was an all-star before he got injured. So to me, you know, you have two really good goaltenders. That's something to look at. But to me, this Detroit Red Wings team, Drew, is absolutely a playoff team. And I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, cause some damage in the playoffs as well.
Worth noting, Datsyuk out until early November with ankle surgery.
And on that note, I think that one of their greatest assets is their depth. And you look at their roster, they have guys who can play center and wing. They have guys who can fill in spots for a guy like Datsyuk. You know, whether Dylan Larkin makes a team, depending on injuries and options on certain players, talented player, great speed, well-respected. Thomas Tatar is one of the best shots in the National Hockey League. Maybe he clicks with a guy like Brad Richards. I mean, you heard Kevin Allen talk about Henrik Zetterberg and his motivation, and Kevin Allen's based in Detroit and has been close to that team for many years. I think Abdelkader is one of the most underrated players in the league. Mike Green gives him the great option on the power play and the right-handed shot to help the setup there. As he talks about the depth and goal, I like this team to finish second in the division, and I do think there's a significant motivation that they have to prove to Mike Babcock and to the league, really, in general, that they were more responsible for the success he had. I know there's some young players here, too, but who want to help Jeff Blashill, but they were more responsible for the success than was just Babcock, as the credit's been given to.
One of the feel-good stories last season was the Ottawa Senators and Andrew Hammond, their goaltender, who went on an incredible run at the end of the year to propel them into the playoffs. They finished fourth in the Atlantic Division last year, lost in the first round to the Montreal Canadiens, record of 43-26-13. No significant additions this offseason. Some significant subtractions. Robin Lehner went to Buffalo. David Legwand also went to Buffalo. Eric Ryba and Eric Condra also left. Can the Senators build on what they did last season with their young core, or do you see them maybe taking a step back in the Atlantic Division?
Drew, the Ottawa Senators are a team I do think takes a step back, and you know, it's not because I don't like the Ottawa Senators. I think what they did last year was incredible, but you know, winning 23 of their last 30 games or whatever it was. In January, if you remember, we were talking about the Ottawa Senators potentially tanking to get Connor McDavid. So, I mean, they really came out of nowhere to make the playoffs. It really took until the last couple games of the season for them to clinch that playoff spot. But to me, the Senators team is still very good in net and on defense. One of the best defensemen in the NHL, Erik Karlsson. But to me, this team is still going to have to compete with the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Philadelphia Flyers. To me, two teams I think are making the playoffs this year. So I think to me, this is an 85 to 90 point team. It's not a team that's going to get into the playoffs, but it's an exciting team to watch. And when you see the development of guys like Mark Stone and Mika Zibanejad, they're really good. But to me, Rich, they're not quite strong enough up the middle. But I do like the team. And a guy like Jared Cowan, I think, has really turned into a bona fide NHL defenseman. Patrick Wierkoch. I mean, they've got a lot of talent on this team. I just think there are other teams in the Eastern Conference that struggled last year, and I mentioned them, Jackets and Flyers. I just think those teams are going to take some of the points away from the Senators, and they're going to take a little bit of a step back. But the future is really bright when you look at, you know, guys like Curtis Lazar and Matt Pumple and these guys. But I just think last year they overachieved a little bit.
I think what you have for Ottawa is a benefit of playing in the division that they do. Because to me, it's kind of Tampa and Detroit are the two best squads. And I think after that, it's going to be a little bit of a battle. and that third spot insulates you from the crossover in the wild card. That's a threat. And I think that third spot is going to be up for grabs. I think Ottawa is going to be competitive for it. You know, I agree with Ezzy. I mean, so there's a bit of an overachieving there at the end of the year. And sure, Andrew Hammond's injury hurts, but Craig Anderson is a capable netminder. There is some young talent. I mean, Mark Stone is a talented young player. You would expect Bobby Ryan to have a bit of a bounce-back year. Mike Hoffman's a real good-looking player. Mika Zibanejad came into his own. So they have skill there. Do they have top-end guys? No. Aside from Erik Karlsson, of course. But I think they're going to be in the battle for that third to fourth spot in the Atlantic Division, but I would not be surprised if they make it, and I would not be surprised if they don't.
Dave Cameron did a great job and earned his two-year contract extension. He really kind of gave more power to the young players.
Head coach of the Senators.
Yep, yeah. Head coach, and he did a really good job there, and we just saw them play an exhibition game in Winnipeg, so he deserves a lot of credit. He really kind of changed the way they play a little bit and gave them a lot of confidence. And so the future looks bright. I think, you know, last year was a little bit of an overachievement, that's all.
When we come back, we'll look at the bottom four teams in the Atlantic Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment brought to you by our friends at Keener Jerseys. Keener Jerseys has become known as the world's best jersey customizer. Keener's knowledge of jerseys is unsurpassed. If you want awesome jerseys for your team or have a jersey you want customized, visit Keener Jerseys online at keenerjerseys.com or find them on your next opponent. Continuing on with our preview of the Atlantic Division, we're going to go to the four teams that didn't make the playoffs. And one of the most disappointing teams in all of the NHL last year, the Boston Bruins, with a record of 41-27-14, not a playoff team for the first time in years.
I told you guys the window closed.
Ezzy and I believe that,
right?
Yeah, thank you. We were right.
You were right, I was wrong.
We were right, you were wrong.
Well, hey, I mean, it's a little premature here, guys.
Well, they certainly overhauled the roster in the offseason, acquiring Matt Beleski, ex of the Anaheim Ducks. Jimmy Hayes comes over from a trade from the Florida Panthers. Zach Rinaldo from the Philadelphia Flyers. And Matt Irwin was signed as an unrestricted free agent. Leaving Boston, Milan Lucic, Riley Smith, Dougie Hamilton, Carl Soderberg, and Daniel Paille. Are the Bruins a better team this year than they were last year, and do you expect them to bounce back into the playoffs?
Well, they're not a better team than they were last year. I mean, their defense is terrible, right? That's the big problem here. You look at their forwards. I mean, I don't mind the change in forward dynamic necessarily. Milan Lucic wasn't as productive as you wanted him to be. Riley Smith's added skill and speed. They didn't love his makeup there, although I don't love Jimmy Hayes as a replacement. I think Smith's a more talented player than Hayes.
He's a Massachusetts kid, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
I know.
He's big but doesn't play big. Right. That's never a great mix, you know, in that pressure in Boston. And Soderberg is a good player but a replaceable player, in my opinion. It's the defense.
Really? Okay.
You know, Dougie Hamilton, whatever you think of him, and I don't even love Dougie Hamilton, but he's a good player regardless. He's gone. They have this Chara is kind of nicked up already. Seidenberg's hurt. And you look at their defense and who's going to be playing? Zach Trotman, Adam McQuaid, Torrey Krug, Kevin Miller, Matt Irwin. I mean, these are flawed players. Like, Torrey Krug has great offensive skill, not great defensively, gets angled off on the boards, tough, not great in front of the net. I mean, you have a bunch of holes here. And how do you defend against Tampa Bay and the Islanders and the Capitals? I just don't think you can. So I don't think they're making the playoffs. I don't mind. I mean, Beleski is a long-term deal, but I don't mind the annual cap hit. I think Pasternak's a good young player. I mean, Hayes certainly can score. And I like some of their young talent up front, but their defense is not good enough.
Yeah, I think the Boston Bruins almost made too many changes this year, Drew. And I agree with Richie. I have real concerns about this defense. And I had concerns about the defense before Dennis Seidenberg went out with an injury. And
yep,
Dennis Seidenberg
yep.
and Zdeno Chara have paired up for the last, what, 5-6 years? And Zdeno Chara, we know he's getting a little bit older, but he's still an excellent defenseman. And he keeps himself in really good shape, as I do. I'm not as worried about Zdeno Chara, but I am worried. I like that Dougie Hamilton trade for Calgary. And you know, you're going to have guys like Zach Trotman and Joe Morrow kind of replace the Seidenberg injury, and you're going to have him replace Dougie Hamilton. But this defense isn't the defense that won the Stanley Cup in 2011. And we had Joe Haggerty on 3 weeks ago, and he doesn't think the Bruins are going to make the playoffs. And that was a little bit surprising to hear, but he's got to be honest, and he always is. But for me, this Boston Bruin team is still very good up the middle, as Rich mentioned. Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci, excellent forwards. Rich mentioned Pasternak. He was excellent in the second half of the season. But this Boston Bruins team has always prided itself on its defense, and they're still really good with Tuukka Rask there. And of course, Bobby Essens is going to make sure that he's the goalie coach there. For those who don't know, he's going to make sure Tuukka Rask stays good. But no, this Boston Bruins team, I just don't think they're as deep as they have been in years past, so I think they'll take a step back. I still think they'll be competitive for a playoff spot. I just don't think they're going to end up getting in.
The Florida Panthers finished sixth in the Atlantic Division with a record of 38-29-15. Their offseason acquisition was Riley Smith, ex of the Boston Bruins. Jimmy Hayes leaves, so does Scotty Upshaw and goaltender Dan Ellis, who was just a depth guy at that point in time. The future is bright for the Florida Panthers with all their young talent. I mean, you know, we can talk about a Bjugstad. Aaron Ekblad is going to be is already a dynamite player. Jaromir Jagr continues to churn along at the age of 412. Is the future bright enough, and is the future now that this could be a playoff team in the Eastern Conference?
I mean, it could be a playoff team. They have a good goalie in Roberto Luongo. You mentioned the pieces that they have, Barkov, Bjugstad, and Ekblad. I mean, up the middle and on defense, you built the team similar to the way Dale Talon had a part in building the Chicago squad. Are they strong enough on the wings and in the depth lines? I don't know, and their depth defensemen worry me a bit. I think they could be a team that threatens for that final playoff spot, but I still think they're about two or three pieces away from being a serious playoff contender. There's a big difference there, and I don't think they're there just yet.
Yeah, Richie nailed it. I think, you know, the optimist in me, Drew, wants to pick the Florida Panthers to make the playoffs this year. And I think that first line of Alexander Barkov, Jonathan Huberdeau, and Jaromir Jagr is going to be a very exciting line to watch. You have, you know, kind of the 20 and 22-year-old playing with the 43-year-old. It's kind of interesting there. And Roberto Luongo instantly stabilized the goaltender position and had an excellent season. This was a 91-point team last year, guys. It was a good team. But they're just not there. And when you look at kind of the depth forwards there, and a guy like Brandon Peary also had a pretty good year. He won the Cy Young. I think he had 22 goals and 2 assists. So, no, I mean, this team is a very good team. It's an up-and-coming team. Gerard Gallant, I really like. I like what Dale – I know Richie also likes what Dale Talon has done there. You mentioned Aaron Ekblad. This guy's a future Norris Trophy finalist or winner. And I can't pick them. I think there's too many teams in that division – that are better than they are, and I think they're going to still fall probably 10 or so points out of a playoff spot again.
Let's talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Buffalo Sabres together like we did with Kevin Allen. The Sabres obviously were the worst team in hockey last year, but they got Jack Eichel, a pretty decent consolation prize when they lost out to Connor McDavid in the draft lottery. The Toronto Maple Leafs, they were horrendous last year, and they've acquired a bunch of sort of fringe veteran guys to come in and try and stabilize their lineup. I think it's pretty clear that the Sabres are the better of the two teams. Are the Sabres good enough to maybe compete for a final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference? And what do you expect out of the Mike Babcock-led Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, the Sabres are good enough to compete for a playoff spot because their forwards are pretty good, and they have a nice balance there, size, speed, skill. I'm concerned about their defense. The left side of their defense is pretty awful. So Robin Leonard is the key there. I mean, I know they're encouraged by his play so far, and he's talented enough. So, I mean, I think the Buffalo Sabres will be a very dynamic team to watch this year. And Dan Bylsma's team usually play a pretty structured style. He knows the way he wants them to play. He's got a lot of set plays off faceoffs in the neutral zone and the offensive zone, and he'll have them ready to play. In terms of Toronto, I mean, you look at the squad. Again, everybody talks about how there's not much there. Well, I mean, guys like Jake Gardner, who I don't love defensively, but Morgan Riley, who I think is a great young player, and Gardner's going to be on a reasonable deal here anyways. I mean, there is talent. They speak about there not being talent. But you look at the forward lines, and there's a lot to be desired. They're not a playoff team. Mike Babcock, I agree with Kevin Allen, will get some more points out of this team than maybe another coach would. But I don't think they're a serious squad for the playoffs, and this is going to be a significant rebuilding year.
Yeah, Buffalo and Toronto both aren't making the playoffs, Drew, but they'll be better than they were last year because they were just god-awful last year. Buffalo won 9 games on the road last year. 9.
I'm surprised it was that high.
Out of 41-9.
I know. They were terrible.
So they were a 50-point team last year, so they'll be a better team. I don't think they're going to be that close to a playoff spot, but as Richie mentioned, their forward lines are going to be very dynamic, and they've made a lot of moves, obviously. Sam Reinhart might even play on the wing, but you're going to have a top line of Evander Kane, Ryan O'Reilly, and Tyler Ennis. Then you're going to see most likely Eichel with Matt Molson and maybe Gergensens or maybe Gionta there on the second line. This team is going to be very good. As Richie mentioned, the defense is better, but it's still not at an elite level. And I like the Cody Franzen signing. I thought that was a really good job by Tim Murray there. And yeah. Richie mentioned Robin Lehner will be key. He's their big acquisition. But, you know, is he a guy that can play 60 or 65 games and win 35 or 40 games? I have question marks with that defense in front of him. As far as Toronto goes, I mean, Toronto is going to be a better team. But, I mean, this is still a team that is going to go through some growing pains. Their young players like Nylander and Marner are years away, and they're hoping that guys like Brad Boyes, you know, can fill those voids, or, you know, you want to throw in a Sean Mathias or players like this. It's going to be a better year, but, you know, it's a year where Mike Babcock alone, Drew, put it this way, he'll be good for probably 10 more wins. He might get them a little bit higher than fans want because they'll probably get out of the Austin Matthews sweepstakes. But I still think they're a couple years away from being a playoff team.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. That's the Atlantic Division. When we come back, the Metropolitan Division. And still to come, Hockey Hall of Fame reporter Eric DeHatchik on the Western Conference. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our 2015-16 season preview spectacular on TSN 1290.
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Brought to you by Not Auto Corp. Visit the new luxury auto and art gallery at Waverly and McGilvery.
Nikolai Ehlers. He goes by Nikolai now.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. This segment is brought to you by the Jewish Foundation of Manitoba's 40th annual luncheon. Philanthropy is a key pillar in a strong community. That's why the Jewish Foundation of Manitoba is proud to support Siloam Mission and their project to replace the front doors and concrete slab at the entrance of their supportive housing development in Wolseley. For more information about the Jewish Foundation of Manitoba or to purchase tickets to their 40th anniversary luncheon featuring a keynote address from Rick Frost, CEO of the Winnipeg Foundation, on the topic of sustaining our culture of generosity, visit jewishfoundation.org or call 204-477-7520. Richie, we continue our look at the Eastern Conference with the Metropolitan Division. We start with the President's Trophy-winning New York Rangers, finishing atop of the Eastern Conference last year, I believe atop of the NHL as a whole with 113 points,
yep.
Just ahead of the Anaheim Ducks, if I'm not mistaken.
And Tampa Bay. And well, Anaheim Bay. Was 4 points behind.
Sorry, yeah. Tampa Bay and Montreal. The Rangers, a busy offseason, largely due to salary cap problems. We talked about it with Kevin Allen. Marty St. Louis, he retires. Carl Hagelin goes to the Anaheim Ducks. Cam Talbot goes to the Edmonton Oilers. In exchange, they bring in Jarrett Stoll, Victor Stahlberg, Antti Raanta, and Emerson Edom. Are the Rangers poised to equal the heights of last season? Or if they take a step back, is it a significant enough step back that leaves you with pause about their state as a Eastern Conference finalist, let's say?
I think they got worse. And I look at their centermen. You know, there's a debate about Hayes at center or wing, but it's Stepan and
I like Hayes at center.
Broussard and Hayes, I do too. And Moore, that's a good center group for sure. And I like their defense. Their defense is very strong. And, of course, Henrik Lundqvist. So I think they're a playoff team for sure. Drew Vigneault is a good coach. I don't love their wings. I mean, Zuccarello coming off the concussion. You never know there. JT Miller elevated to a higher role. Victor Stahlberg's great speed. But he's not Carl Hagelin. Jesper Fast. Emerson Edom's pretty soft. He's got good speed, but he's pretty soft. Can you bank on him, you know, being committed to pay the price to do what you need to do? Tanner Glass, not that skilled. I see more holes in this roster. And for a guy like Alain Vigneault that likes to play all four lines, that likes to give everybody a shot, I don't think he has the roster this year to deploy his team the way he has in the past. So I think they're a playoff team, as I said, but I think it's a step back for the Rangers. And if they want to be a threat in the playoffs, they need to get better on the wings.
Yeah, and it's a transition year for the New York Rangers with Jeff Gorton taking over for Glenn Sather as GM. As Richie mentioned, Alain Vigneault is an excellent coach. We remember that from his time with the Manitoba Moose and Vancouver Canucks. I agree with Rich. I don't think you can duplicate 113 points, Drew. That was the best season points-wise for the Rangers, and obviously that has to do with the extra points. But to me, this is the third-best team in the Metropolitan Division. I think the Washington Capitals and New York Islanders are better teams. I still agree with Rich, though. I mean, this defense is excellent. Also, congratulations to Dylan McIlrath, who's a Winnipegger who actually made the final cut of the team. You know, he's going to be a depth defenseman, but regardless, it's good for him. Former 2010 first-round pick for him to make that team. But you look at Girardi and McDonough and Kevin Klein did a great job, and Dan Boyle is still playing. You know, this defense is top three, and there's a reason why they went to the Stanley Cup Finals 2 years ago, and they went back to the Eastern Conference Final last year. But I agree with Rich. I think, you know, the offense is going to lose a lot without having a Marty St. Louis there. Carl Hagelin's a fast player. I think, you know, they're still excellent up the middle. Stepan, Brassard, Hayes. I mean, this is still a very good team. It's a 100-point team, but to me, it's not a 113-point team.
And just quickly, sure. You know, as he makes a good point, I mean, St. Louis, you didn't have a great year, of course, but you lose skill. But Hagelin's significantly better to me than Edom. Like, that was a big drop-off.
I agree with that. I think Hagelin will be really good there with Kessler and Anaheim.
Yeah, I agree.
The Washington Capitals finished 45-26-11, second in the Metropolitan Division. Their offseason acquisitions are two familiar names. Justin Williams, he a multiple-time Stanley Cup winner. TJ Oshie, ex of the St. Louis Blues. They lose Joel Ward, Mike Green, Troy Brower, Eric Fair, Curtis Glencross, who they had acquired at the deadline.
They lost some good quality players there.
Well, have the additions... Are the additions of Williams and Oshie more than significant to make up for the subtractions from the roster? And what do you foresee for the Capitals for the upcoming season?
I really like this team. And, you know, you're going to get Backstrom back, and Backstrom and Ovechkin are as good as the duos you're going to have in the National Hockey League.
Backstrom going to miss the first week of games or so hip
surgery. A little
surgery.
Longer than that. Yeah. I think 3 weeks.
Okay, 3 weeks after having off-season hip surgery.
This team has defined roles, and they have balance that they didn't have before, and I thought that they would have been, had they beat New York in Game 7 of the second round, I thought they would have been a formidable foe for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Kind of talking about what we did before about the matchups for the Lightning, I think the Capitals have become a hard team to play against. I like their depth. I know you lose Joel Ward and you lose Brower, both good players. You're getting Williams and Oshie. I think you're adding more skill there. Eric Fair had an underrated contribution to the squad, in ability to play center and wing.
Yeah, he's off in Pittsburgh now.
That's right. But Jay Beagle's a respectable player for sure. A guy like Tom Wilson's a hard to play against kind of depth player. They have speed. They have size. Kuznetsov's very talented. Very talented. And you can put him into a secondary role there. I like Marcus Johansson. I like this team. Does Mike Green hurt on the back end of the third pairing? For sure. And does he hurt offensively? Yeah. But Carlson and Niskanen, I know Niskanen's spoken about how he wants to increase his offensive contributions over last year, I think are more than capable of shouldering an offensive load as right-handed right-side defensemen. And then you have Braden Holtby, and you have good coaching. This is my I'll save my prediction for later, but I really like the Washington Capitals this year.
Yeah, I'm with Richie. I picked the Capitals. I should mention this. Last year, I picked the Capitals to miss the playoffs, and I was completely wrong. I mean, this year, I think they win the Metropolitan Division, and I think they're going to cause some damage in the playoffs as well as they did last year. As Richie mentioned, this team will score a lot of goals, and we mentioned Backstrom will be out, so most likely we'll see Kuznetsov on that top line with Justin Williams and, of course, Alexander Ovechkin, who scored 53 goals last year. There's just so much skill, and Rich mentioned, you know, one of the most underrated fourth lines there with Chimera, Latta, and Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, this team is really difficult to play against, as Rich mentioned. And on defense, I mean, you're losing a little bit of offense with Mike Green, but for Washington, Rich, Mike Green was a third-pairing defenseman, and they'll be fine. And
that's right.
A guy like John Carlson just continues to get better and better. He's developed really into one of those elite offensive defensemen in the NHL. And
better defensively last year than he was the season prior.
And Niskanen and Orpik, I mean, those were the two biggest free agent signings last year on defense across the league. I mean, they made the Washington Capitals defense that much better. It's a very good team. And Braden Holtby played the most games of any goaltender last year. He'll probably play a few less games, but he's a top five goalie now. He's a really good goalie. So this team is just so balanced and well-coached, and there's no reason to believe why this team isn't just getting better and better. And as Rich mentioned, Williams and Oshie, great acquisitions.
People do talk about Backstrom, but you can make an argument that he's a top five centerman in the National Hockey League. Pretty strong argument.
Sure. One of the top two or three setup men in the league.
Led the league in assists, and he's been top five, top ten, whatever in assists. I mean, I agree with Rich. He's an elite player.
The New York Islanders finished third in the Metropolitan Division, record of 47-28-7, losing a heartbreaking Game 7 to the Washington Capitals in the first round. Acquisition, Steve Bernier, Marek Zalichky, and backup goaltending Thomas Greiss. Trading away Griffin Reinhardt, losing Matt Donovan, Michael Neuwirth, Colin McDonald, Harry Zolnarczyk, and Dustin Jeffrey. None of the key players leaving that team, of course. Is this the year? I mean, you know, the Islanders have sort of been one of those perennial, you know, playoff teams for the last couple of years, but first round exits for the most part. Is this the year that they finally can go longer and deeper into the Eastern Conference playoffs?
I think they're certainly capable of going to the second round and even the Eastern Conference final. Drew, can they take the next step after that? Well, I'm bullish on their forwards, and I like Boychuk, Leddy, and Hamonic. DeHaan's a smart player. Their bottom pairing concerns me a little bit. And again, that's, you know, nitpicking for a good team. But you probably ideally want DeHaan maybe start in that third pairing and put somebody else up there with Hamonic. When Hamonic went out last year, they couldn't move the puck out of their own zone. I watched those games. You couldn't move the puck out of their own zone, and Washington dominated them, down low especially. So I'm surprised the Islanders didn't add a defenseman here. And doesn't mean that they won't midseason. I think they're certainly a playoff team. Ryan Strome is a great talent. Tavares has established himself. Anders Lee is an underrated player. They have great depth, and they have great flexibility on their roster. I know Okposo is going to be a pending free agent here, and that could be a bit of a distraction. But I like the mix of the squad, and they probably have the best fourth line in the National Hockey League, too. That's physical, block shots, will hit you through the glass every time. And their goaltending, of course, is the other question mark. So, I mean... either they address the goaltending and leave the defense, or they address the defense to insulate the goaltending. But I don't think, as they're currently constructed, they can make a run to the Cup, but I do think they can make a run to just before that.
Yeah, I like Halak more than Richie does. I think he's almost underrated. He had a really good year last year, and Thomas Greiss, I think, is a capable backup. I think this Islanders team is the second-best team in the Metropolitan Division. Should note, Thomas Hickey's injured right now, so Manitoba boy Ryan Pollock is going to make the team. He'll start the season in the NHL, and he'll most likely be sent down at times during the year, but he will make the team. This is a very good team, and John Tavares, to me, is one of the most underrated Hart Trophy finalists. I mean, I don't think people talk about John Tavares enough as being one of the top three forwards in the NHL. And, you know, Rich mentioned Ryan Strome started playing with Tavares and had a breakout year, drafted 2011, a couple spots before Scheifele. I think this team is really, I think they will get out of the first. I don't know, you know, I'm not going to go as far as to say this team is going to win the Stanley Cup this year, but I think that this team is, I wouldn't be surprised if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals this year. They're that talented. And as Richie mentioned, a guy like Hamonic, it shows you how underrated Hamonic is when he went out. I mean, if Hamonic is in that series and he's able to play against Backstrom and the Ovechkin line, Rich, then the Islanders, I think, might win that series. And that's against a Capitals team that we just said we both really like.
Yes.
So this Islanders team is deep, top to bottom. You could say, yeah, once you get, you nitpick, once a couple of defensemen there. I don't like Marek Zidlicky. I talked about that. But, you know, Zidlicky can move the puck. And if he's your sixth best defenseman, you're probably doing all right, and that's because you have guys like Hamonic and Nick Leddy and Johnny Boychuk who eat up those minutes. So I really like this Islanders team.
The Pittsburgh Penguins snuck into the playoffs after a free fall at the end of the season. They went out meekly in the first round. The big offseason acquisition, of course, is Phil Kessel. But some of the lesser guys are also significant. Nick Bonino out of Vancouver, Matt Cullen, Eric Fair, which doubly hurts because they take him away from a division rival.
Yep.
The players they lose. Nobody. Brandon Sutter's the most significant guy off of their roster from last season. Christian Ehrhoff, who also was there on a one-year deal, is gone. Why is this Penguins team better suited to get back to the heights that are expected of a team with Crosby and Malkin than previous Penguins teams?
Well, I could simplify it for you and tell you they're more talented.
That's pretty simple.
That's the truth of it.
Yeah, I think when you keep things simple for me, I'm not that bright.
They're more talented up front. You look at their lines. I mean, they have a bunch of guys who are going to be playing lower down on the totem pole than they would on other teams. They have right hand, left. They have right hand shots, left hand shots. Guys who can skate, guys who can play a little bit of a more physical game. Maybe that's why I like Fair, is that he can play a different role for you. And he kind of mixes it up a bit. They almost have too much skill, which, and that's, you know, making fun, because you really can't have too much skill. The back end concern, though, Drew, and you know, where have we heard that before? Oh, for only the past 10 years with this team. So do they address that? We keep hearing about the young players on their back end and what they're going to be. Well, prove it already. I don't mean Alimadi, he's proven it, but I mean guys like Derek Puglia, what are you going to be? You know, you hope Chris Letang is able to stay healthy. He's had some unfortunate things that he's faced, but I think this team is certainly a playoff team, and they need to add a defenseman. To me, if they want to be, like, they're going to be fun to watch, they're going to be exchanging a lot of chances, but I think they need to add a defenseman that can lock it down if they're going to be a real threat to make it all the way.
Ezzy, quickly?
Yeah, I think the Penguins probably finish fourth in the Metropolitan Division. They make the playoffs. I don't know how far they go in the playoffs, just because year after year you think they're going to go farther and get back to where they were in 2009, but they don't. Yeah, I agree with Rich. I like the acquisitions they've made. Eric Fair, Matt Cullen can solidify that bottom six, and then Pascal Dupuis is going to move down to the third line, and you'll see Kessel play with Crosby and Kunitz, and it looks like Hornquist and Malkin are going to play with Sergei Plotnikov, a guy they picked up
The KHL.
Out of the KHL. And, you know, Rich mentions the defense. It looks like Derek Pouliot might start the season in the AHL, and they're going to sign Sergei Gonchar, who was on a PTO. So, I mean, Sergei Gonchar, even though he, you know, he's you can even argue he's maybe even a Hall of Fame defenseman, he's getting a little old, and you have concerns about that. But they'll be better this year, Drew, just because they'll be healthier. Chris Letang, well, they should be healthier,
at least to start the season.
Ollie Matta, as soon as he went down and Chris Letang went down, they really struggled. So they'll be a good team. They'll be a playoff team. But as far as the playoffs go, I don't know how far they go.
Let's head to break. When we come back, the bottom feeders in the Metropolitan Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our season preview spectacular live on TSN 1290. 20 minutes past 10 in the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, the official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey. Conveniently located at Cordon and Lanark in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's is a family-owned and operated traditional-style deli. Take it home or eat in their full-service restaurant. Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. This leads me to remind you of a programming note. Wednesday, 6 p.m., the season premiere of NHL This Week with Illegal Curve Hockey will be on 6 to 8 this coming Wednesday, with a comprehensive preview of the entire Jets season, of course,
yes,
and looking at their first two matchups in Boston and New Jersey, and the official debut of the Illegal Curve sandwich at Bernstein's Deli. Will unveil it on Wednesday's show. The prototypes have been well received by the test audiences. It's getting thumbs up around the board. We debut it on Wednesday, the season premiere of NHL This Week.
The test audience is as he eats it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's right. He's a good test audience.
No, the test audience was me and Gary. Having a couple sandwiches, and you know, he wasn't happy with the H&L sandwich, so he needed to try the Illegal Curve sandwich. So I know Gary is listening right now, so I know he's the most excited for this debut.
The Columbus Blue Jackets finished out of the playoffs last year in the Metropolitan Division, absolutely riddled with injuries, still above 500 record, and legit above 500, 42-35-5. Brandon Saad and Gregory Campbell are their offseason acquisitions. Saad, of course, from the Chicago Blackhawks, traded for him, giving up Artem Anisimov, Brian Givens, Marco Dano, Corey Tropp, Jeremy Moran. They all left Columbus last season.
Yep.
The Blue Jackets are a playoff team in my mind. Are they a playoff team in your guys' minds?
Well, now that you said that, I don't know.
Yeah, now you have, hey, I was the one who said the Bruins window was closing.
Drew, you keep talking like that. The window's going to close on you here on the show.
We'd kill for a window in the studio here.
Good point. I think they are a playoff team, Drew, because I think that, you know, their mix up front of size and the addition of the speed of a guy like Brandon Saad, and character, and their goaltending, I think makes them a playoff team. They're especially hard to play against. They kind of remind me of maybe a few years ago, St. Louis Blues squad, with the difference being the Blues had the defense and not the goalie, and Columbus has the goalie and really not the defense. But I've said this before on the show, you know, Jarmo Kekalainen and John Davidson were kind of behind in large part the way the Blues were built. And there's no coincidence, I think, in terms of the way they've built this Columbus team. You know, big, hard to play against, competitive character squad. And I think that the addition of Brandon Saad is such a great addition for them because it gives them the speed and skill on the wings to complement a guy like Ryan Johansson, who's a tremendous playmaker, smart player, and his Saad speed will complement Johansson. He's not the best skater, but it reminds me a lot of Ryan Getzlaf, the way he plays. And am I concerned about their defense? Well, I am. Overall, I am. I mean, Jack Johnson can skate, plays hard, not the smartest guy. I like David Savard. He's just not the smartest hockey guy.
You just to clarify, you mean on the ice in this instance?
Oh, yeah. I don't mean about the money stuff. I mean, you know, Fedortun's a solid stay-at-home guy. Ryan Murray, obviously, they expect a lot from, and David Savard can move the puck. So they're not terrible on the back end, but they're not dynamic. I think this is a playoff squad, though, and I think it's one of those teams where when you go through town, you're going to feel it.
Yeah, they're a playoff team. They won 16 of their last 17 games in the regular season. They had so many man games lost to injury last year. It was just ridiculous. It really was. It was ludicrous how many players they had injured to start the season. Remember last year with Nathan Horton, even, who was obviously traded, but you remember all the injuries they had and Ryan Murray. I think Ryan Murray, I hope this year we get to see a full season because this guy can skate, and he was drafted second overall for a reason. He's got a ton of skill, and they're obviously hoping that he stays healthy. Not the deepest team on defense, but Sergei Bobrovsky is a top five goalie, absolutely. And I agree with Rich. The strength of this team is on forward. And, you know, Aaron Portsline's a good friend of the show. We have him on quite often, and I follow him. And
beat writer for the Columbus Dispatch.
Yeah, the line of Brandon Saad, Nick Foligno,
Ryan Johansson
has been absolutely tearing it up in the preseason. I don't know what they have combined, 20 points or something. But that line is going to score a lot of goals this year. And I really like Brandon Dubinsky there, and you know, Scotty Hartnell had an underrated year there. Alexander Wenberg struggled at times. I think they hope that he is better this year. And then, you know, I like the Gregory Campbell acquisition as a fourth line center there with Jared Bull on the fourth line. This is a tough team to play against. They work their buns off. Todd Richards, I think, is an underrated coach. I think the fact that he got an 89-point season with all these injuries last year is incredible. Kekalainen and John Davidson do an excellent job there. So I think this is absolutely a playoff team, and I would say is a dark horse to win, to upset somebody in the first round.
The Philadelphia Flyers had a sub 500 season. They were pretty bad last year, 33-31, 18 overtime and shootout losses, which is a tremendously high number. Their acquisitions this offseason, Sam Gagne, backup goaltender Michael Neuwirth. They traded away, and Evgeny Medvedev of the KHL, so don't know a ton about him. Nicholas Grossman went to Phoenix. Jason Atkinson, Zach Stortini, and Ray Emery also left. Flyers, Dave Hackstall, ex of UND, is their new head coach. Flyers trending upwards, but not quite there. Ready to make a leap forward.
Well, if you're talking about trending upwards, you're talking about their young defenseman who they've sent all down, you know, back to, you know, either junior or the minors, and maybe in 2 years. Yeah, I mean, look at their defense now; it's terrible. I mean, you know, I could pretend it's not; it's terrible. So, how do you play with that defense? How do you get the puck out of your own zone? How do you defend properly? And they have too many guys who aren't mobile enough. And if they're not going to be mobile, they have to move the puck well enough, and they don't all move the puck well enough. That was the problem with Nicholas Grossman. And they've overpaid the guys in the back end. Their forwards are fine. Their forwards aren't a huge issue. I don't love Steve Mason. People like him better than I do. Dave Haxtell has his hands full to be able to get this team to buy in, I think, while they struggle. I don't have him as a playoff team.
Yeah, and Steve Mason's numbers are all top 10 on a team that didn't make the playoffs. So I think he deserves, you know, some credit there. I think
928 save percentage, yeah, 2.25 goals against average last year.
I think that, you know, this is a team that isn't going up or down. I think, to me, I wouldn't be surprised if this team makes the playoffs. I'm not going to pick them to make the playoffs. I think they're in the second strongest division in the NHL. That's the problem. The Central Division and the Metropolitan Division are the two best divisions in the NHL. And I think that's when you play the Islanders and the Capitals and the Rangers on a nightly basis, I think you're going to lose points there. So I like this team. And Claude Giroux and Jakub Voracek, they're going to score a lot of goals. Definitely take them in your hockey pools. But, I mean, the defense,
that was last week's show.
And the defense, as Richie mentioned, is not excellent. And, you know, when he's talking about the youngsters, he's talking about their last three first-round picks. Yep. Sanheim, Morin, Provorov, all these guys are a few years away.
Gostisbehere,
who scored, I think, 3 goals in the preseason, and a lot of Flyers fans were hoping he'd make the team. They have too many guys on one-way contracts. Guys like Nick Schultz, Delzato were signed. You know, these guys, Delzato, by the way, was one of their best defensemen last year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, nothing against Delzato, but I think that, you know, they can move the puck. They're not the best defensively. A guy like Luke Shen has struggled coming over from Toronto. And Braden Shen, you know, he's been the topic of trade rumors. So I think Philly is still in there for a playoff spot. I'm going to pick them to not make the playoffs, but I wish I could pick them to make the playoffs.
You're wearing orange today.
You are wearing orange. And your flin-flon ties, of course, are often why your Flyers
shout out to the Riverton Rifle.
Yeah. Last two teams in the Metropolitan Division, the New Jersey Devils and the Carolina Hurricanes, really no expectations for either team entering into this season. They're both bottom feeders. Are they both bottom five teams in the NHL?
Well, here, let me start off, Richie. Yes. The New Jersey Devils... Pavel Zacha is still in camp. I don't know why he's still in camp. I think if you have Pavel Zacha making this team, that's you're just rushing him at this point because
first-round pick.
What I mean by that is the New Jersey Devils aren't going to be good this year. I mean, it's a transition year. You know, we had Bryce Salvador on about a month ago. He retired. This defense is talented but young. Corey Schneider had a very underrated year last year, and Pete DeBoer played him the first 22 games of the season, and it ended up burning him out a little bit. But Corey Schneider is a top 10 goalie in the NHL, and I think this team, it's going to be interesting to watch, exciting to watch. They have some good young players there, but they're not going to be a playoff team. And as far as the Hurricanes go, I mean, there just isn't enough support, Rich, for Eric Staal, Jordan Staal, and Skinner after, you know, Elias Lindholm. They just don't have enough players. I mean, Chris Versteeg, great acquisition, but I just don't think they'll score enough goals. And on defense, I think there's a lot to be desired there. So I think both those teams are going to be bottom in the East.
Rich, quickly.
Devils will be better than Carolina, but they're both poor teams. And Ray Chiarot's going to be rebuilding there. And Ron Francis is still trying to figure out what he wants to do with this squad. And I think, you know, you hear about Staal negotiations for an extension, but I'm not so sure that'll happen.
Let's head to break. When we come back, Hockey Hall of Fame journalist Eric Tkachuk is going to join us as we shift our focus to the NHL's Western Conference. You're listening to the 2015-16 Season Preview Spectacular on TSN 1290.